When the hell does the baseball season begin anyway, huh?
I got White Sox baseball coming on here in about a half an hour, friend.
Is that right?
As soon as this show's over, I'm off to Camelback Ranch via the magic of television technology.
What are the odds?
On the Sox Dodgers?
Yeah.
Do they let you bet on...
I think they do.
Spring break? Spring training? Spring break baseball would be good. They're just hung over every morning.
Point break.
Let me take a look. Maybe I could put a couple bucks. Although that seems like a very dumb thing to do, to put money on.
Kind of iffy.
On spring training.
Yeah.
Cactus League.
Gotta have the action. You've got a problem, friend.
I cashed out. I took my winnings and I cashed out, so now I have nothing on the app. So I couldn't make a bet even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
And that was done for two reasons. One, because I don't trust myself. Two, I am unemployed.
Well,
and now it's not the time for me to be gambling.
I don't have the app either. I have to physically go and place a bet because otherwise... Well, I...
Look at this. White Sox plus 160, Dodgers minus 170. I could bet on exhibition baseball.
In my head yesterday,
yes.
The line between the Celtics and the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
That was your Sunday showcase game on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
The over-under was 223.
Okay.
And I'm like, I'm going to take the over. And I didn't put any money on it.
Yeah, yeah,
and
just in your head.
And it just in my head. And the money that I put on... I was going to put on it,
yeah.
In my head,
yeah.
Guess how much money I put on it in my head?
$100.
$4,000.
Well, as long as you're playing with brain money.
Right.
Go
it's
all
just
in.
Brain. But just think how what kind of day I'd be having. I'd be ahead. You know what? I'd be ahead.
$8,000 in, well, minus the VIG. You'd have like $7,938 in brain money to walk around in.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I was willing, as far as brain money is concerned.
Yeah,
I'm gonna put $4,000 on this.
Well, I like this.
What happened was,
yeah,
it was my brain money. I was, I was intending on putting $40 on the game,
mm-hmm.
But in my brain, there was an app malfunction
that
because those sort of things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And as opposed to it being $40.
Mm-hmm.
Like toward the end of the game,
uh-huh.
I find out it's going to be $4,000.
Wow, in brain dollars.
Yeah.
I should welcome everybody to the podcast. Maybe this is your first time downloading it and subscribing to it. We thank you for that. It's Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. We talk about what all is going on in the world. My name is Dave, and this is my partner, Darren.
I don't do as well when I actually put money on it. Real money.
No.
Real currency.
No.
Although 4 out of 7 isn't awful. So far,
well, they had a deal for the Super Bowl. If you bet $50, they would give you $50. And then I ended up winning the Super Bowl. So like, it was a nice little payday for me.
I had this over under with the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers.
Okay, you're spending way too much time looking at the numbers now.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah,
but it was the last game before the NBA All-Star break.
Right.
So I'm and the Greek Freak isn't playing.
Right.
So I'm thinking. Take the under, right?
I like that bet.
Take the under.
I would be willing to bet $400 brain dollars.
Well, I actually bet real money on this game.
American currency.
American currency.
Okay.
And for the first 3 quarters, the Bucks don't score 30 points.
Hmm.
Fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
To screw me over, yeah. They score over 40 points.
I love how you take it personally. They did this to screw me over.
I'm better off with the brain money.
All the exhibition games are here. There's also, for whatever reason, the game in Dyersville between my beloved White Sox and the hated New York Yankees. You can get action on that. And then the Yankees favored to win that game. And by the way, I've been wondering, when are the tickets go on sale for that? The more I read, it sounds like they're not really putting tickets on sale. That's just all going to be people who know people.
It's interesting that Major League Baseball is trying to contract a bunch of minor league teams in Iowa, but mm-hmm. They've got a game they're going to try to sell to you in Iowa.
Yeah, they're going
to
build a stadium for one game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the other proposition bet here for the season is Astro batters hit by pitch in the regular season.
Yes.
The over-under on this. Any idea what the over-under on this would be? How many times an Astro batter is going to be hit by a pitch in the regular season?
Well, probably about 4 or 5 times a game. So 800, there's 162. I would say 800.
The over, under, it's 81. Take the over all day long.
Yeah.
We'll get to the over by the All-Star break.
Sure.
The way these Astros are running things.
I mean, all the other teams have actually already publicly committed to doing so.
No, I mean, normally there's this, well, a ball got away from me. They're coming out and saying, we can't wait to hit the Astros when it counts in a game. So 81 is the over-under. I think you'll get there by August for sure. That seems like a... Like, this feels like free money.
Kind of a devious bet, but I like it.
Well, but... Or does Manfred say if he notices that, okay...
Well, wait, I think he has
said
that. Way
too many of them are getting hit. I mean, do you hit a... Do you hit a...
So what he's planning on doing is suspending people that hit the the people that were cheating.
Yes.
But the people that were cheating, they don't get suspended.
Well, let me ask you if this makes any sense, because here's why I'm taking the over all day long. You take the over on that because there's a new rule this season that a relief pitcher has to face a minimum of 3 batters. Situationally, if I'm up against the Astros and I put in a reliever and I only want him to face 1 batter, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I don't want him to face the next 2. I have him plunk the second guy
to get
just so
out?
He gets ejected, and then I get to put in my reliever of choice.
Gotcha.
I don't want him in the game. Getting him out of the game is what I wanted, but the rules forbid it. So I'm just going to say, hey, hit this guy. Not even for any malice, just because I know if you hit a single, like if they're issuing warnings before the first pitch is thrown at every single game the Astros play, that's why I take the over, I think.
Mm-hmm. Good strategy.
Got a story here of a guy who won the lottery, and I want to share it with you with what we call the top 5 things. Are you ready?
I'm ready. The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by Sense Inspections.
Come on, let's go, you guys!
Quality home, property, and commercial inspections. Thinking of buying or selling a home, it pays to be informed. Call John and or Becky at Sense Inspections. The phone number is 563-265-5111 to book your home or commercial building inspection today, or you can go to the website, which is inspectwithsense.com, for more information. You can also book online right there. Serving the Quad Cities, the professionals at Sense Inspections can help gauge the physical condition of any property, enabling you to make an informed purchasing decision or help you get pre-sale or for sale by owner ready. Don't let someone else choose your house inspector. Sense Inspection offers independent, unbiased, expert home inspections and will provide you a report with constructive tips and recommendations. Visit the website, which is inspectwithsense.com, for more information and answers to frequently asked questions. Sense Inspections takes the stress out of home and property buying and selling. The phone number 563-265-5111, or visit inspectwithsense.com and book your inspection today. It just makes sense. And of course, when you do so, don't forget to mention Nacho Radio. The podcast is originating from the Capriati Sandwich Shop studio on 53rd Street in Davenport, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak and now Impossible Cheesesteaks, and so much more, including the Slobby Joe, slow-cooked roast beef, provolone cheese, Russian dressing, coleslaw. It's absolutely delicious. Whatever your favorite sandwich is at Capriati's, don't forget to turn it into a combo with a chip and a medium drink. And when you're there ordering your sandwich, make sure you mention Nacho Radio, and what will happen is they will give you a medium sub, and you'll only have to pay for the price of a small one.
Number one. Story of a guy here who never plays the lottery, and he just won $1 million. Took home $1 million prize.
Well, he's lying then.
He says he never plays the lottery.
You're a liar.
But his wife decided to kick off the new year by getting him a New Year's Eve millionaire raffle.
As a gift?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not her money?
It was one of 3 tickets that was worth a total of $1 million. So she got him the ticket. He's like, I don't play the lottery, but okay. He said, we saw the number match. We checked again. It was shocking. Not what we were expecting.
Go buy me more tickets.
now this guy's playing with not brain dollars, but real dollars. Uh-huh. Yeah. He went and picked up his payout. Now, again, this was a ticket that they won on New Year's.
Yeah.
He just made their way out to go get the cash. Doesn't know what he's going to do with the $1 million. The 7-Eleven where they bought the ticket gets $10,000 just for selling the ticket. I think that's separate. They reward the retailers whenever there's a big... Yeah, I don't get that either.
Why?
I don't get that either. To incentivize retailers from having the lottery, right?
But... Don't they all have it anyway?
Yeah, that's what I don't get. It seems...
Sounds like spending money you don't need to spend.
That's the thing. That's $10,000 that could be going towards fixing the roads. Why do all these gas stations get money when there's a big payout?
Now, if you won $1 million somehow...
Yeah.
And you wouldn't.
No.
But if you were to win $1 million...
No,
hold on. Just wait.
Win $1 million.
I know I'm not going to. No, if you were to win $1 million
yes.
at, say, a blackjack table...
Okay.
Where what would you tip?
Oh, well, that's an interesting question.
Because so, that's different. My life just changed and I would like to reward. Would it be 10 grand?
Probably.
About that?
Probably.
Here's 10 grand. Thank you.
I mean, I'm trying to think when I was playing blackjack back in the day, back when I had, you know, not only a disposable income, but actual income. When I would play blackjack back in the day, I would always tip pretty well if I had a sizable...
What does that mean?
I mean, if I won...
$500.
Let's say I won $500 in a night at a table, I'd probably tip out over the course of the night, I'd probably tip out $75.
Okay, because I was going to say, if any more, that's too much.
Yeah, but part of it is just, it's a karma thing. Part of it is
karma doesn't exist.
You're being taken care of.
Karma's not a real thing.
No, I understand that now. Believe me, no one understands that better than I do these days.
That idea, though, what goes around comes around,
well, I just
that's
like
not
the,
true
I
either.
Like the idea that we're all on the same side. And, you know, I mean, you get a good dealer, they make you feel like they're rooting for you. They want you to win.
Are they, though?
I don't. I've allowed myself to buy into that illusion.
Because if I was a car dealer, there would certainly be some people I'm not rooting for. Now you can't show that. You can't show that I'm going against you. I imagine that's the pit boss doesn't allow you to do that.
I don't
that.
Know. I've had dealers. Now it's been 20 years.
Oh, the
since
snicker.
I've, yeah.
At
no.
You?
No, I've had dealers. Back in the day when I was playing a lot of blackjack, where it was like they got a kick out of your bad luck.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, that's kind of fun.
No, they can be adversarial.
Because I would think they should be allowed to do that.
I think if they find you
to be an unsavory type.
Yeah, no, I don't think they put up with that. I think if you're a jerk to them, they're allowed to be kind of a jerk back. I don't think
good.
It's all.
I think that's a.
I don't think that customer's always right. BS follows its way into the gambling world.
I think that's a good policy,
yeah, right?
Yes.
Because here's why it doesn't work. You can't say, you know. I hit on 17 and got 22, but actually that's 21 because the customer's always right.
Uh-huh.
They don't play those games
no,
in the casinos.
They don't. No, they don't.
No, this is what we're doing. You get nothing. I don't know why I like this story as much as I do, and I think I'm nervous that this makes me a bad person because I really, really got a kick out of this one.
Okay. Bum, 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 and another one gone, and another one gone, another one bites the dust. Hey. He's gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Former limousine driver, Mad Mike Hughes.
Yes, we know this guy.
This is a guy we've talked about here on the podcast. He's one of these idiots that thinks the earth is flat. And he said he would never believe that the earth was round until he shot himself up in a rocket and saw the curvature of the earth with his own eyes.
Little rocket man.
Yes. Yes. This is a guy... Who believed...
Who
and
shot
would
himself. He's rode a rocket before, hasn't he?
Yes.
And hurt himself.
Yes. Yes.
He took it to another level.
On Saturday, he shot up in a rocket, a steam-powered rocket. And if you've seen the video, what I'm about to describe, I'm telling you, I feel bad about sharing this with you. I also feel bad about how I don't really feel bad about what I'm about to share with you, right? I'm putting on a little farce here, like uh-huh. like I feel bad for the guy and his family. Yeah. But I'm going to be dead honest with you, folks. I don't feel bad for this guy one bit, and that makes me wonder if I've lost my humanity. This idiot who shot himself up on a rocket, the rocket goes up. The first thing that happens is the parachute gets shot out and just gets ripped to shreds.
Oh, no.
That's the first thing that happens. So then this idiot gets sent
because
five...
even at Snake River Canyon,
yes.
even though as soon as Evil went up,
mm-hmm.
and so did the chute,
yes.
at least it stayed together.
Imagine if it started with the parachute getting ripped to shreds.
Disintegrated.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And it's like you'd be looking up going... Is there another parachute?
Nope, there's not.
So this tell me there's another parachute.
Nope.
There's not a backup parachute?
That was it.
That was the one. Mm-hmm. That was two ply.
Second parachutes are also a conspiracy I don't believe in. The government's trying to make you get a second parachute. So he was attempting to launch himself 5,000 feet into the air. Uh-huh. Didn't quite make it that far. But then he went up into the air.
Where'd he end up?
Flattening it. Flat as a pancake on the desert floor is where he ended up. He said that he wanted to do this launch because the earth is flat. Quote, do I believe the earth is shaped like a frisbee? I believe it is. Do I know for sure? No. That's why I want to go up in space.
That is high impact. That's what we're talking about here, folks. Live action, high impact.
There is a thought that this guy knew that the earth wasn't in fact round.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
But that's what he used as his hook to get people to interested in his...
A lot of stupid people gave this guy money.
Uh-huh.
Because, I don't know if you've noticed this lately, but there's a lot of stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow they have money. So they were giving him money, and he was doing these PR stunts, and he's quite dead now as a result of shooting himself in a steam-powered rocket.
He did it for the show.
Well, yeah, exactly.
We will not be hearing from him again.
I like that. When the rocket was nose-diving,
mm-hmm.
I guess there were extra parachutes.
Oh, no.
I'm reading here from a statement, the parachute rips off immediately after impact, right?
The first
one. Or after launch,
the first
right?
one.
And then he falls through the air and crashes straight into the ground. The rocket is nose diving. Slim
Pickens style.
I'm reading here from a writer that was at the scene. It says, quote, when the rocket was nosediving and he didn't release the three other parachutes he had in the rocket, people started screaming and started wailing. Everyone was stunned when he crashed and didn't know what to do. Well, get a bucket.
Well, he's
scoop this idiot up.
He's clearly going to release a parachute, isn't he?
Thoughts and
prayers. Doesn't seem to be releasing a parachute. The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by Mary's Diamonds and Jewelry. They have a new home. They're in the Village of East Davenport at 2115 East 12th Street. Their bridal sale is going on right now. So come in and check out their engagement ring starting at just $350. Their large selection of GIA certified loose diamonds, their custom bridal line. They offer free cleanings and inspections. Stop in and experience their impeccable customer service. They are open Tuesdays through Friday from 10 till 5:30 and then on Saturday from 10 till 3. Check them out at marysdiamondsandjewelry.com and like them on Facebook. Take advantage of their interest-free financing options. Find the perfect gift for every occasion. They're locally owned and operated. And when you're there making a purchase, make sure you mention Nacho Radio. And when you do, you'll receive a free gem and jewelry cleaner. The podcast originating, as it always does, from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport. James also has a location at 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Enjoy one of Capriotti's specialty party trays or build your own by choosing a combination of cold subs. And for that extraordinary event, build your own perfect meatball sub with Cap's Meatball Bar. Capriotti's signature homemade meatballs are made from scratch daily and simmered in a classic marinara sauce. Every meatball bar comes with sliced provolone, Romano cheese, and baked rolls. Be sure to download the Loyalty app and get free food. If you're there for just lunch or dinner, then make sure you mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Number three.
This is a fascinating story I read over the weekend that I wanted to share with you. When you climb Mount Everest,
mm-hmm.
was it Sir Edmund Hillary? Why do you climb Everest? Because it's there. Isn't that what they say? You have to climb Everest. When you climb Mount Everest, there's a lot of things that happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Physically.
Yes. And one of those things is apparently you get an unstoppable erection.
Huh.
They call it, the mountaineers call it the Everest boner. This is something that happens because of the air. There are people, because of the changes in air pressure, you get like a boner on an airplane.
I suppose that you have to take that in consideration when sizing your ski pants. Or whatever.
Talk to your Sherpa and see if Flexitrol is right for you.
The worm has turned. Try Flacitrol.
So yeah, are you on the top of Mount Everest, or are you happy to see me? Airplane boners describes erections that guys get on planes because of changes in air pressure that affect your blood pressure. Now, I have to say, having been on quite a few airplanes, I don't know that that's ever happened to me.
Don't remember that.
It used to happen to me on the bus, but that's because I was like, you know, 11.
Well, it happened to me in math class, but I was 14.
Right.
And, no, right. You know what? I'm gonna
Trapper Keeper, you'll keep this secret.
I'm going to pass.
I'll just walk with you right here and no one will know.
I'm going to pass. I don't want to come up to the board and try to solve this problem. I got a problem myself right here.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll just stay here.
Catch you after class.
Yeah, they're talking to a guy about what they call HACE, which is high altitude pulmonary edema. It's part of altitude sickness, and as a result of it, you get this crazy erection when you're up in the air climbing Mount Everest. One guy here says it happened to me just after I crossed 4,500 meters, which would be like 2.8 miles, right, up in the air. It's different for different people. This guy says he would get the boners during the morning.
I wonder if there are devious teachers that have like certain inklings, and that's why they choose certain people.
Like they suspect.
I suspect.
Okay, it looks like he's got a boner.
Yeah, I suspect.
Only one way to know for sure.
Get on up here,
Timmy. We need you to come solve for X up here.
Uh-huh.
I don't know that I should be doing that.
This may be kind of messed up, but am I the only one getting a boner right now?
So yeah, I guess that's something that happens when you climb Mount Everest.
I guess I'll never find out.
No. No. They say it's not comfortable. I mean, because, you know, having a boner is not comfortable.
I climbed Diamond's Head.
And? How did that go for you?
I don't remember any sort of Hawaiian punch.
I would assume if I was climbing Mount Everest that it was just I was thrilled that I was climbing a mountain.
I'm so super excited about this.
Right. It's not. It's weird that... Because you certainly...
I'm peaking!
It's not comfortable, this guy says. He says, I was wearing tight clothes, and it was 20 below zero. It's not even close to being the most difficult thing about climbing Everest, so you just have to carry on until it goes away.
Remember when we asked Larry when he thought his peak age was, and he thought it was still coming?
Yeah, he hadn't gotten there yet.
I don't think I've got there yet. I wonder if that's... that thought process has changed in the last 6 years.
I was my brother and his family were here this weekend.
That's great. What were they doing here?
Just visiting. We didn't get a chance to visit over Thanksgiving, so they made a trip up here to hang out.
Uh-huh.
Have some cousin time.
Great,
and all
great
that.
Weekend to do it. How about the weather?
No, it was wonderful. But he was asking questions about Larry.
Uh-huh.
And am I right when Larry would do the no shame tour with the gold lamé suit?
Yes.
Was it Carnival Number 9 that he would play? Or what was the song he would play
He opened up with Pinball Wizard.
Pinball Wizard! Why did I think it was Carnival Number 9?
Because he had a tambourine.
Okay. So it was Pinball Wizard that he would open up with.
Yeah.
He had like a set list?
Well, he did a couple songs.
Anyway,
and then he started popping the balloons.
These boners. Oh.
He had a balloon suit.
Tell the story.
He had a balloon suit. He had made a balloon suit. I got to give him for that because I don't know how to make a balloon suit. So he would have a couple different sets. One was with like the gold lamé, and then he went and put on the balloon suit and started popping the balloons.
And this was at a bar that it was at his mother's house.
Well, it was it was the lower level.
That's what it was called.
Yes, Larry's lower level.
Right.
It was kind of a speakeasy.
Right. But it was, and he would come out.
That's not the.
He would do shows.
He did that evening.
Number four.
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 Okay, the balloon suit's like the most important part of the story.
Well, his mom came down during, because there was so much noise being made.
Mm-hmm.
She came down and told Larry, you know, you're making an ass out of yourself. And I tell you what, the show must go on.
That's what we respect
He didn't give her the time of day. He completely blocked her out and kept on with the show.
Are you familiar with magnetic fishing? How is your fantasy fishing? Has that started yet?
It's a completely different league. The other one, The FLW doesn't even offer it anymore. So,
So
now we're basically in a Bassmasters thing, and the very first week did not go well.
Okay. You'll keep us posted.
Well, if anything good happens.
This kid in North Carolina was doing what they call magnetic fishing. That's where you put your lure is a magnet.
Great.
And then you put it in a lake and you try and pull stuff out that may be worth something. That's what they call it, magnetic.
Like fish?
Not like a steelhead. No, actual metal. Magnetic fishing.
Because how do you get the fish to swallow the magnet?
You're not going for fish.
Oh.
You're going for somebody lost a wedding ring.
Larry finds wedding rings.
That's true. Tell that story.
He found a wedding ring out in right field when he was a little leaguer.
They put him in the paper, didn't they?
Well, because he doesn't pay attention to the game.
He was just looking at
dandelions. He was just kicking dandelions and stuff and probably kicked up a ring.
This kid got a magnetic fishing pole for Christmas and couldn't wait to take it out.
Uh-huh.
And he's out there in North Carolina doing this magnetic fishing where you're just dragging a magnet around, seeing if you can pull anything off the bottom of the lake.
What did he get? What did he find? Like a mine?
Yeah, it was a hand grenade.
Like the sort of mine that shows up in the lagoon at Gilligan's Island?
Yeah. No, it was a live hand grenade with the pin pulled, ready to explode. Now, this is at Little River in Moore County.
Who just throws that into a river?
I don't know.
I
could see the fun of it. Pulling the pin on a grenade, throwing it in
the
river.
And watching all the fish fly
watching
up in the
air. Yeah, exactly.
A little barbaric.
Nine-year-old pulls it out of there and he says, quote, "Hey, Dad, I think I found a grenade." Yeah, you did. Colton's dad, this kid's name.
Let's not tell your mom.
It's Colton Decker.
Because that'll be the end of the magnetic fishing.
Colton's dad is a retired Special Forces soldier, and he knew what to do right away. They called out a bomb expert from Fort Bragg to detonate their grenade. They say there's no reason or explanation why it would be in the creek where it was. But yeah, if you were holding it, it would absolutely kill you.
You're going to need a professional.
Yeah, if you find a live grenade, go ahead and call the bomb squad or the bomb robot, which is Darren's favorite local robot, right?
Bomb robot?
You love bomb robot.
Yes. Well, I don't know that we even have it anymore.
Of course we do. You don't get rid of Bomb Robot.
You wouldn't think you do.
No, we just...
But they're not showing it on television anymore.
No, because
they
spent $1 million for a robot they're never going to use.
If someone left a backpack somewhere by the Arsenal Bridge, and let's go get the Bomb Robot.
Five.
It's like, what's in the back? What's in the backpack? Crackers. Saltines. Graham crackers, a variety of crackers.
Finally, there's a story this morning of a young girl who has the radio on in her room 24/7. This is in Lockport, Illinois, one of the Chicago suburbs.
Sure.
This girl is also 9 years old, and there's this radio station that is coming in, a local AM radio station. It's a Christian radio station owned by Salem Media Group, and it's on 24/7. And you're wondering, okay, is this little 9-year-old some sort of devout follower?
Trying to find God?
No, here's the problem. The bedroom is picking up radio signals, and no one can figure out why. Again, not unlike Gilligan's Island.
True.
They keep hearing these voices.
There's nothing that goes on in the modern world that Gilligan's Island can't explain.
Richard Smith said voices and music were heard inside the walls of his daughter's room there in Lockport. And then they figured out it was a local AM radio station.
Is it possible that Ralph and Alf have a radio and they're in the walls?
Different sitcom, but maybe. They sent the engineer from this radio station out. And this guy, they open up the wall, they took a look at the electrical grounding, and this engineer said, "There's no reason for this to be happening, it's just happening." Thanks. Thanks for that. Household objects can sometimes pick up radio signals. There was a case a couple years ago where a guy had a electrical fan, a household fan, and when the power was off, it would pick up the radio station.
Uh-huh.
That's not great.
One time I got hit in the head during a thunderstorm, and some of the dental work I had done turned into a radio.
No, that's Gilligan's Island. That wasn't you.
When did they start calling comedies sitcoms?
Situation comedies?
Because everything is a situation.
Well, because I think originally a comedy on TV would be something where you just had people coming out telling jokes. To have it in a setting is like I Love Lucy would be like a situation comedy. It wasn't just
but know, was that like called Milton, a sitcom?
Well, Milton Berle would be a comedy, right? Yeah. But when did the term sitcom start? I would assume sometime in the 50s, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, so like Beverly Hillbillies, obviously a situation comedy, well, but was it called a sitcom?
Yeah, when did they start calling them sitcoms? Interesting. It's when you have characters that go from episode to episode.
I mean, Gilligan's Island, that is certainly a situation. They're stranded island.
Oh, it's a situation, all right. Huh?
Yeah, but they don't call them situation dramas.
No.
Why not?
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know.
Because people don't just come up on television and be dramatic.
The term situation comedy is actually from radio. Mm. The sitcoms were radio so first, and then
pre-television.
Like, yeah, like your Fibber McGee and Molly, which was a half-hour show. If you ever get a chance to listen to it, I used to listen to it when I was a kid. The whole premise is this guy's got a bunch of stuff in his closet.
Right.
And they always do this build-up where it's like he needs something, and he's like, hang on, I'm going to go look in my closet. Yeah. And then he goes, looks in the closet, and you just hear sound effects because his closet is so packed full of stuff.
Yeah.
And that killed.
Well, we stole that.
So anyway, what would you do if you had a Christian music station, talk station in your house and you couldn't turn it off?
I'd probably just
sell the house, right? Or burn the house to the ground? What would you do? How do you fix that? That's not great. Here, because this is the thing. This happened last week in Boston, and it happens everywhere.
Maybe I would look for some, like, do you look for an exorcist at that point?
But it's not anything that's, I don't think it's anything that's supernatural. There's just something with that house that's picking up the receiver and amplifying it, and it's not okay. When this is all over, Jesus is going to have all the radio stations. Because what they do is, there was a station here, 98.9, and then the government said, because there's only two companies that own all the radio stations here, the government said, you can't have that station anymore. You have too many radio stations. So you have this radio station. You could sell it to somebody else.
Yeah.
But then they would put commercials on and hurt your business.
Yes.
So what they do, these giant radio companies, is they just give it to Jesus. Because then if it's all Christian stuff.
They don't have commercials?
No, there's no commercials. They just get people.
Not even like Christian bookstores?
No, it's. Well, I don't. I don't think so. Although I'll be dead honest.
Churches don't advertise?
No. You just constantly are saying, call this number and give us money. They just have listeners.
We should do that.
Well, I mean, in a way, we kind of do with the patron program.
But we don't do it probably as aggressively as they do.
We could just go to all patron and just have everyone pay to listen to the show.
That might be.
But that
could be a mistake.
I was going to say, I don't know that our message is as compelling as Jesus is. He's got a better message. He's also much more available on AM and FM radio. But that said,
also a bearded fellow, not unlike us.
Yeah, well, you know. We're all a couple of radicals with some crazy ideas. There's no question about that. But what happens is just these stations, rather than selling it to a competing company, and you want to make sure that you're the only ones that have the stations, there's the station I grew up in Chicago that I grew up, fell in love with radio, The Loop. Remember The Loop in Chicago?
Yes, could you?
That's a Jesus station. Could
you give it to a satanic cult?
You could. You still have to sell
it. And the cradle! We'll rock!
The problem is, you still have to sell it for something. But, like, whereas a company that wants to make money would give you $30 million for a radio station, you give it to these Jesus people for $2.7 million.
And maybe you can write it off.
I'm not sure how all that works. But, yeah. Yeah, get ready, because JC and the Zoo Crew are going to be on every radio station here before too much longer.
Nice.
That's going to do it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things.
Which has been brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company, 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. Make 2020 your year and enjoy an all-natural fruit smoothie. with or without protein. How about a matcha green tea served hot or over ice? Try a super tasty protein puck packed full of fruits and nuts, a great way to start the day. They have gourmet hot ice and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee and loose leaf tea that you can take with you. Biscotti breakfast cookies, all natural oatmeal muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company. Join their loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast, as Dave mentioned, is also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean. Become one today and you'll have access to everything we've ever done and our specialty programming. The podcast originated from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, now featuring impossible cheesesteaks, sandwiches, soups and salads, cold and hot subs and cap specials, including the Bobby Turkey Cranberry Sauce, homemade stuffing, mayo, voted the greatest sandwich in America, and now you can get it grilled. They're open 7 days a week. Like them on Facebook. Be sure to download the Loyalty app and get free food. And, of course, mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
All right, we'll be back again until we get a chance to do another podcast for you. Thanks so much for listening. Hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot, Davenport. Yeah, we keep it locked. Rock out. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline. Yeah,